Sermons from Broome Anglican Church in the Diocese of Northwest Australia.
I wonder, have you got any unfinished business? You know, you've started an item, but you never get around to finishing the job. You might have even added it to your to-do list, but you still haven't ticked it off. It might be that unfinished spring clean from last year. It might be that book that's sitting unfinished on your nightstand. It might even be the new language you were planning to learn for your overseas trip that never happened because of COVID. For me, my unfinished project was a camper trailer. It sat in my yard for 5 years and I never completed it. I spent countless hours working on this project. I gutted it right out. I switched over the wheels to match my car. I even got it re-engineered so it would have a bigger weight capacity. But despite all this effort and the money that I spent on this camper trailer, it sat there unfinished. And last year I finally got around to selling it, knowing that I was never going to finish the job. You see, it's much easier to start things than it is to finish them. And often unfinished things in our lives, they bring frustration and they bring anxiety to us, don't they? We worry about the cost, the time that we've invested into the thing that is incomplete. Sometimes we even feel shame for not completing the task. I know I felt this when I didn't complete my first university degree. You see, it's hard to finish things, especially big things. Well, today we're going to be looking at the biggest thing that has ever been completed, that has ever been finished. As Jesus hung there dying on that cross, he said these famous words, "It is finished." And with those words, all things changed. Now, many of us have heard the Good Friday story before. Of course, it's the story of an innocent man being sentenced to death, death on a Roman cross in the form of crucifixion. Now, crucifixion was a particularly painful, humiliating way to die. You slowly suffocated, struggling to take every breath. It was so agonizing and so degrading that no Roman citizen was ever to be put to death by crucifixion, regardless of what crimes they had committed. Historians have described it as being the height of Roman torture. But before being led to the cross to face this public, excruciatingly painful death, Jesus was mocked. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They dressed him up like a king and then paraded him around while they beat him, while they spat on him. After this, he was then paraded through the very town that he had triumphantly entered only a week earlier, to face more shame, to face more mockery. And arriving at the execution site, they nailed him to that cross, putting nails through his hands, through his feet, and then they hoisted him up for all to see. And after 6 hours of excruciating pain, struggling for every breath that he took while continuing to be mocked and abused, Jesus said those famous last words, "It is finished." And then he died. Now, were these words a cry of defeat? Or were they something else? For those who wanted Jesus to die, the phrase "it is finished" would have appeared to them as a cry of defeat from Jesus. They had finally won. They had managed to arrest him. They had managed to have him tried and then put to death. His days of causing them trouble were finished. For them, Jesus was finished. But what is it that Jesus actually meant when he said, "It is finished"? Was he agreeing with his adversaries there? Was it a cry of defeat? Or was it something else? What was finished? Well, when Jesus says it is finished, despite what his adversaries may say, it is not a cry of defeat. It is a cry of victory. You see, when Jesus says it is finished, he is talking about the completed work that God sent him to do. Now, you might be wondering, what is this work that Jesus was sent to do? To find this out, we need to look back at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Right back in the beginning of John's Gospel, John says these words. "The next day, he," being John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.'" At the very first sighting of Jesus, his work is outlined for all to see. "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." This is the work of Jesus. This is the reason why God sent his Son into the world. Jesus was sent to take away the sins of the world. And he completes this work when he dies upon that cross. Now, in our Old Testament reading we had from Isaiah this morning, Isaiah is looking forward to the one who will pay the price for the wrongdoings, the one who will wipe out the debt. Isaiah says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that has brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." Jesus was an innocent man, tried before three courts, all of whom found him guiltless. But despite finding no guilt in him, Jesus still went to that cross, where he was pierced for our transgressions, where he was crushed for our iniquities, where upon him the chastisement was put that has brought us peace. Because as Isaiah says, we have all wandered away from God. We've all turned to our own ways. We've all done things wrong in our lives, haven't we? The Bible calls these things sin. And you know what? When we wander away from the source of life, being God, the just penalty for our actions is death. Now that leaves us with a bit of a problem, doesn't it? We've all done things wrong in our lives. We've all wandered away from the source of life himself. We all deserve death. Well, the great news of the gospel is, instead of giving us what we rightfully deserve, Jesus took the penalty in our place. He who had never done anything wrong, he who had never wandered away from God, took our penalty upon himself so that we can stand innocent before the judge of the whole world. He paid the price that we could never afford to pay. This is why Jesus can say, "It is finished." In Jesus' day, the phrase "it is finished" was written on receipts to indicate that a bill had been paid in full. There is nothing left to pay. The bill is done with. And you know what? One day we will all stand before the judge of the world to settle our accounts with him. Now I wonder what will be written on your account. Will your account be stamped with outstanding? Will you need to pay your account? Or will your account with God be stamped, paid in full, stamped in the blood of Jesus? Folks, this Good Friday, we can have our accounts settled. We can have our invoice stamped, paid in full, simply by believing in Jesus' finished work on that cross. If you believe in Jesus' finished work, you are welcomed into God's family, into his eternal kingdom. You are forgiven. You stand innocent before the judge of the world with your invoice stamped, paid in full. Now, this is not because we are perfect. It's not because we've been baptized or anything like that. It's not even because we'll never do anything wrong again in our lives. It is simply because we put our trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross. The work that Jesus came to complete. Jesus himself spoke of this very work in that famous verse, I'm sure you've heard it before, John 3:16. Where Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." He continues on to say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, rather that the world might be saved through him." This is the great news of Good Friday. Jesus' cry of "it is finished" is not a cry of defeat of a dying man. It is instead the cry of a triumphant power of a living, life-giving Redeemer. It is the divine announcement that the work of redemption has been fully, finally, and forever accomplished. It is finished. Now, we all have unfinished business in our lives, don't we? They might be small things, they might be big things. We all have things that we need to complete. But Jesus' work is complete. His work of taking away the sins of the world is finished.
We hope that sermon helped you. To connect with us, visit our website, broomanglican.church.